Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
In the early 2000s, the Lord gave me a revelation. I'm sharing on money matters today, and a lot of people just right then switched off. But you'll miss out on a blessing if you don't listen, amen? So in the early 2000s, God gave me a revelation that wealth creation and spirituality can coexist and that it was okay to make money. I thought, you're kidding me. Why didn't anybody tell me that before? I thought particularly if I was going to be a pastor's wife, I had to be prim and proper and behave myself, which I'm not very good at doing, I might add. You know, that Greg's had to learn to restrain me, amen? But they've let me out of my little cage today. So be ready, because I'm a woman with a revelation. As I was going through Bible college, we had to do 26 units. You had to do 6 in theology, 6 in the Bible, and 6 in the practical. So that made 3 sixes was 18. Then you had to do some research assignments. So I applied to the Board of Studies because I wanted to do my research assignments on wealth creation. And they told me that if I was doing it in the theological stream, that I couldn't then do it in the practical. I said, it's two totally different things. Anyway, they approved it. So I'm a woman with a revelation, amen. So I did a lot of research, so much so many people asked me, what did you do? How did you do it? Well, I wrote a book, To Hell With Debt, Let's Make Money, amen. Now, I do have a few copies of it up there. I've just got a handful left before I order a reprint of the book. Also, another book. This one is The Why I Did It and The Heart Behind It, which if you don't have that, it'll kill you and it'll take you out of the kingdom. Amen? So it's a good idea to make sure your heart is in the right place. And that is a refining process. Doesn't happen overnight. Amen? This one, Unlock Equity Wealth, is The What I Did. So I encourage you, if you just buy this one, that you make sure your heart's in the right place before you start doing it. Because like I said, you can get that busy, you can just forget that it was God's idea that you create wealth. Amen? So this is, I'm going to read out a prophetic word that I believe God gave me, and I believe it is still current today, because God is looking for finance ministers. He's looking for men and women that'll say, I'll put my hand up, and I'll be somebody that you can flow finance through. That's what he's looking for, amen? The Lord is raising up a company of believers that are trained and equipped to handle the transference of wealth, because God has promised there is going to be a transference of wealth. God himself is looking for men and women who are committed to the extension of his kingdom. The criteria for money management will not be potential but past performance. Faithfulness in the little things will be a prerequisite for greater delegation of responsibility. The ability to make sacrifices to break the power of debt over your own life is paramount. This alone will hinder and cancel out many who could have qualified. The ability to delay immediate gratification and focus constantly on the bigger picture will be the necessary discipline. Only those who walk with a limp. And I say that humbly, amen. Who have learned to be restrained by God's word as well as his ways. Jacob was a schemer. And we can start off that way. But when you go through the refining fire of God and keep constantly checking your motives and stick close to God, there is a lot of wealth that is needed to establish the kingdom. Amen. However, after God's dealings, he handled millions. Only those who have a heart after God, who are a genuine seeker of God and build regular altars to give the glory and draw on his grace. You know, there is a grace for giving that God can pour out into your life. Trust me, he really can. The attribute of self-control, now I can hardly see, I've got to stop, pull myself together. Thank you, Lord. Control in order of finance is not to be misunderstood for stinginess or withholding. There is no room in the kingdom for those. The Lord is looking for those he can flow money through, not to stockpile for personal resource. See the rich young ruler that's in the New Testament in Luke, compared with Joseph, who also stockpiled, but with a purpose. Because it's no good just getting the principles of how to create wealth if you don't get the purpose, amen? That's the most important thing. So he said, I'll do this, I'll pull down the barns, I'll build bigger ones, and there I'll store all my crops and all my goods. God knows those he can trust, those who have the full knowledge of prophetic vision before them. God loves his church, and it's the only building project that he's into. The bride must prepare herself. We must be ready to give over all of ourselves, our whole life, internally, our heart, our thoughts, our affections, our single-mindedness, commitment of physical body, having eyes only unto the Lord and Master, externally, our time, our abilities, our accessibilities, and our attention. A strongly developed love and commitment to our local church must be nurtured and cultivated and produced in those we reproduce. All of us are called to be fruitful and multiply. Who are you reproducing, and what kind of fruit is it? Are they selfless, giving, carrying a generous heart, a heart that loves their pastor, leader, and local church, ones that are passionate about the local church vision and direction? There's no room for independence or a privatized lifestyle for God's generals. Every weakness will be exposed and strengthened. And as you commit yourself to the process, I'm not saying when I share on money matters, this is only a part of the kingdom. There's a lot to the kingdom. Now, I can get very one-eyed about it, so I've got to be careful the way that I'm sharing this because I'm so passionate about it. Like, my favourite words are now. I love that word, now. I don't like waiting for anything. Some of my other favourite words are increase, multiplication, and money. They're some of my favourite words because I didn't think I liked shopping, but that was only because I didn't have any money, and there's no point in going shopping if you haven't got any money, amen? So I want to encourage you this morning in the area of money matters. And this actually started with Pastor Greg, would you believe? Pastor Greg, in the early 1980s, I've got a lot to say and I've only got a time frame that I can say it in, so I've got to try and get it all out, amen? He got a revelation when we were at a Connect group, and I believe in Connect groups, so if you're not part of one, it'll do you really good to join one, amen, because I grew more in Connect groups, learned how other people did life, and that really helped me. But we'd been to a Connect group where a couple had shared, they're going to Bible college, and really, their real motive was they wanted all of us to give some money to carry them through Bible college because they didn't have, you know, any money. So that was their way of raising it because they were sure God had called them to Bible college. Well, Greg the next day in his devotional time said to the Lord, well, I'll go if, you know, I own my house, own my car, have money in the bank and can pay for my kids to go to a private school while Janet and I are in Bible college. Well, fast forward 8 years, you know, he just threw it out there to the Lord. We just kept living life, doing what we did. We took in foster children. We did anything we could do to help our community. We sowed into children overseas. We did all sorts of stuff. And we just, you know, we served in our church. We were on the leadership in church. We were at meetings every day of the week, but we loved it. We absolutely loved it. 8 years later, Greg goes to work one day and a book fell out of his bottom drawer of the filing cabinet. The whole filing cabinet drawer collapsed, actually. But this book came out and it was his devotional book and what he'd written in it 8 years prior. And the Lord spoke to him very clearly and said, I've kept my end of the bargain. So Greg comes home and he says, honey, we're going to sell the house. I said, what? Because I'm the spontaneous one, not him. You know, he bisects and dissects and investigates and analyzes it, which is just another word for dad everything. And so he analyses it all, and then by the time you go to do it, it's been preceded by the next model or all the funds gone out of it. But he's my balance, amen? I need that to keep my feet on the ground. Let me just clarify, God knew who I needed, amen? 50 years next year we've been married. And we still love each other, which is the really good thing. The worst thing is being married for all that time and not really liking the other person. It's like, don't be a porcupine. That's what Greg preached in the first service. That was so good. Amen. So he had this revelation. I said, but love, we've just finished building our dream home. We lived on the ocean. The ocean lapped the back of the block. I was like, what? We've just finished building the house. He said, I know, but God's really clearly spoke to me. We have to sell the house. Anyway, he went to work. The next day I was stood in the kitchen and I said, Lord, he's really serious. I don't think I'm going to be able to change his mind, because he's really stubborn when it comes to when he makes up his mind about, and especially if he knows it's God. And I thought, oh, no. You know, I started crying. And I'm not kidding you, dolphins come and they were dancing on their tails in the waves at the back of our property. And I thought, I live in SeaWorld right here. And he was wanting me to go. I had a look on the map. There's no ocean in Brisbane. I thought, there's not even an ocean where he wants to go. And the Lord clearly spoke to me, because I had a big complaint, a big whinge. And I said, Lord, am I ever going to have a house I can call home? We just finished building the jolly thing. And the Lord said to me, yes, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house are many mansions. And straight away I thought, oh, okay. Then I said, Lord, if that's the case, take this house out of my heart. I don't ever want to look back. There's something about burning bridges and just having that, you know, mortality memo, having that meeting place with God, building an altar and saying, Lord, I'm never going to look back. And do you know what? I never have. I wouldn't go back there if you paid me to go there. Amen. The Lord really did a work in my heart right then. Fast forward, because it's a long story, to when we were actually leaving, which was a miracle in itself. We sold the house, we sold a unit that we had to sell to be able to accomplish the dream that Greg had in his heart. And my brother had come to say goodbye. He was crying. He's in glory now, but he was crying and he said, oh, your kids are going to be, you know, vagabonds. They're going to be, what do you call them, gypsies. You know, you're going to raise insecure kids moving all over the place, because all of our family live within 5 minutes of each other. And, you know, we were the rebels that were leaving. And it's amazing. You fast forward all those years later to my brother was dying. He'd withdrawn all medication and knew that he was going to go. And he actually said to me, you were a beacon of light to the family. You lifted up the standard of Jesus. And miraculously, I saw every member of my family saved, which I give glory to God. But, you know, sometimes you've got to be the beacon of light to everybody else. And when you've got a revelation, you've got to wave that thing around and say, hey, you know, I'm a man or a woman with a revelation. Look what God has done. And I said, look, yeah, don't worry, David. God's going to look after us. We are going under God's instruction. This is the scripture that the Lord gave me. This is in Mark 10:28. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses with an S on the end, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands with an S on the end, with persecutions. I don't like that bit, amen. I wish we could eliminate that bit, but that's what goes with it. And in the age to come, eternal life. And I was very pious in saying to the Lord, well, we don't really need it in money because, you know, Greg had prayed the prayer and God had honoured the prayer. So I said, Lord, we don't really need that. We just need it in souls for the kingdom. That's what we need. That was my religious prayer. Now you fast forward to the early 2000s where we'd made a lot of money, but then we'd lost a lot of money. We'd lost over $1.3 million as a family. My children had all lost their homes and I felt like I was responsible. And I cried out to God. We were falling back $1,000 a week. Now we weren't just living from week to week. We were going backwards by $1,000 a week. We had $1,600 in the bank and we sowed a seed. We said, Lord, we're naming, you know, Greg and I prayed over that seed and said, we're naming this seed. We need a God idea. Because one thing I know, God ideas usually come dressed in overalls. That's all I know. Get ready to go to work. Amen. Get ready to do something. Because usually he'll use whatever's in your hand, whatever gifts, talents and resources you've got, you give it to God and he multiplies that. But if you just want to keep it to yourself, well, you'll enjoy this planet. You'll enjoy your holidays. You'll enjoy everything else you're doing. But that's it. That's it for you. So you've got to really enjoy it because our reward is in glory. Amen. And we need to understand the level of eternity that we want to live by. So I want to live for eternity. So it was out of that revelation that we then come to Queensland. We lost all that money. And that was when I went to seeking God for answers to say, God, I need some God ideas. So I've got lots of them. I've researched the subject and I've got so much I could share on it. But these are the four attributes I believe God wants to develop in the heart of anybody that wants to break through financially. Amen. So I've minimized it down to just four. There's probably 400, but these are the four that the Lord has asked me to share. So four essential attributes to attract wealth from the Lord. Because number one, understanding you're blessed to be a blessing. Now, that sounds real simple. Just understand God wants to bless you. It has taken me a further 20 years since I first got that revelation to understand just how much God wanted to bless me. Amen. It never stops. It never ends. But our expectors can go to sleep. Like I asked my dad one day, did you ever dream when you were younger? And he said, oh, no, love, you know, we went through the depression. See, your circumstance can be the very lid that's stopping you breaking through. You can't think above that. He said, oh, love, we were just happy to have food on the table and, you know, a roof over our head. He said, we never dared dream about anything else. Well, I'm here to awaken some dreams in some people today. Amen. That you can't go to sleep. God wants to bless you. And let's have a look at the next scripture. This is in Genesis 12. This is covenant promise. This is a promise given to every one of us that are born again Christians. Amen. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. So he says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Say to the person next to you, God wants to bless you. And you shall be a blessing. Man, we need to speak that over each other's life more and more. He says, I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families, you know, of the earth shall be blessed. It's very important that when we get revelations about God and his house and his leaders, that we're prepared to sow them into the next generation. Because when we're dead and gone, guess what? The next generation are the ones that have to carry it. And I believe there's a twofold anointing, two parts to the anointing of the incredible revival that is going to sweep our nations. One is relational. I believe there's going to be an incredible relational revival because people are literally dying of loneliness in an economy where we have more ability to contact each other than we ever have before. And yet it's an epidemic of loneliness in people that are living on their own, that are, you know, not in contact with people. So I believe God is going to bring an amazing revelation to the church and a relational revival like we've never seen before because Jesus wants us to be friends with each other. Amen. And yeah, that's going to be really powerful. But I also believe there's going to be a financial revival. There's going to be a transference of wealth from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it's going to be put into the hands of men and women that have got a heart to be finance ministers for the kingdom. Amen. So I want to encourage you to break through. What does it mean to be blessed? Well, in my Bible, it tells me you just became the object of his favors. Now, when you become the object of God's favors, you will never be able to contain what God wants to give you. You'll never have a big enough heart or brain to comprehend how much God wants to bless you. You know, I'm in my 60s now, and every day I think, Lord, I live such a blessed life. It would sound like I was bragging if I told you of the incredible blessings, even just this year, what God has done in our life. It's just amazing. I don't want to sound proud because there's a difference between being bold and being proud. I'm very bold with this message, but without humility, we just not do the right thing that God was wanting us to do, amen? So we have to keep depending on him. So you're blessed. You're an object of his favor if you're a born-again Christian. And if you're not, well, we'd love to pray for you at the end of this service and make sure you are, because God wants to bless you too, amen? Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honour are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Then he says, I traverse the way of the righteous in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. God wants to fill your treasuries. You know, King Solomon, we've talked this whole last term on wisdom. Now, I believe God is looking for people that are going to be wise in the area of finance. You know, King Solomon, it says, you know, he says to the Lord, now, O Lord, my God, you've made your servant king instead of my father, David, but I'm a little child. You know, I feel like I was that little child back in the 2000s saying, God, I don't know what to do. You know, help. So many times I've said that, help God, you know, even though I've made the mess, I need his help to get out. But he does bless our messes. He really does. No matter how messed up we can have things, if we give God all the pieces and give him our heart, he can put all them pieces back together, amen? He's just really good at doing it. In verse 9 it says, therefore give to your servant an understanding heart. That's all he asked God for. He said, just give me an understanding heart, like your heart has to be in the right spot. And because he just come to God, he says, don't worry about anything else. Just give me the right heart. That's what I need, you know, to govern all these people that you've given me. Then in verse 12, it says, behold, I've done according to your words. See, I've given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I've given you what you have not asked, both riches and honour, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. See, God will give you more than what you ask for. You need the understanding heart first, and then God can fill the treasuries and trust you, you know, to do what he's wanting you to do. And then it says in Isaiah 48:17, you're thinking, well, how am I going to do that? I'm glad you asked that question, because I am not a financial advisor, and if you come and ask me how to make money, I'm not going to tell you. Amen. Go to the source himself. He'll give you the instruction, because how I've done it and how everyone else is called to do it can be two totally different things. You know, I could try and copy someone else. It wouldn't work. We've got to be under the instruction of the Lord. There is some wise principles you can learn from other people, and, you know, I've read a lot of books on it. I've educated myself, and I believe education is really important if you want to break through financially. He says here in Isaiah 48:17, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you how to profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, who leads you by the way that you should go. So if you're wondering which way to go, you just get the Holy One, the Redeemer, and you spend some time with him and say, should I do this? Should I do that? What do you want me to do? What gifts are in my life that I could use? I've done all sorts of things over the years, you know, when we didn't have much money. When we got married, talk about, yeah, we had 76 cents. Let me get it right. We had 76 cents. That's all we had. When I sailed from England as a seven-year-old on a ship as a 10-pound pom, all my parents owned was in a timber packing crate. Everything we owned as a family was in that packing crate. And my mum and dad decided to sail to Australia because they wanted to give us kids a better life. That was their motive. How good is God that going from a packing crate, I can remember my dad putting a broom handle in it and mum made a curtain for the front. And I thought that was just the bee's knees. And we even had our own toilet because we'd lived in a, what do you call them things? The barracks, you know, their curve. Housing Commission barracks. We'd lived there for 2 years with no kitchen. We had to go to a canteen for meals. And if you wanted to go to the toilet, you had to walk down the road at the front door and down a little bit to the toilet block. So we had this Housing Commission has given to us. I had this packing. I thought it was fantastic. I'd never stayed in 7-star accommodation. we were in that, and I thought that was like the palace. We even had a dry pan toilet at the back that was close to the back door. I thought we were living in the lap of luxury. It's amazing how we can be conditioned. I mean, I was very grateful and I'm very thankful for my beginnings because I can relate to people that have absolutely nothing. Amen. But I know what God can do when you surrender your life to Him. Amen. Says in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing that there won't be enough room to contain it. As I was praying this through, the Lord showed me, most of us come with a little cup and say, oh God, fill my little cup of blessing. When God's got a Mack trailer of blessing that He wants to pour, but all you've got is this tiny little cup. So usually it's our thinking and our speaking and the mindsets we have to break off our life so God can do what He wants to do through His church. We're called to be a blessing as a church. That can only happen if we increase our capacity. Now, in saying that, this church is so positioned by God. We have an incredible community care. Shirley and the team are doing an amazing job of blessing our community. The neon night costs a lot of money to pull off a neon night and have 2,000 people here. That costs dollars to do that. Everything we do costs money, and we can have a far greater impact if we had more money. So even though we're very comfortable as a church, we're not begging you for money. Does the church need more money? Is the church trying to get money off you? Yes, we are. Of course we are. If we had more money, there's a lot more we could do. For a starters, we could have another 20 people on staff. We could have Ben on full-time paid staff to do nothing else but worship God from Monday to Sunday. How cool would that be? We should have that, you know. We would have 10 intercessors that we employ just to intercede and pray for the church. How cool would that be? There's a lot we can do. Dare to dream. I dream all the time. You know, this morning as I was watching all the young ones out here, I always get a vision of all the over 50s on this side. Now, we can't jump up and down because there is a lot of us that have got dodgy knees like I do, amen? But we can lift our legs. And one day they're all going to come out the front and they're going to give these young ones a run for their money. Amen? Anybody with me? So someone's going to start a revolution and we're going to have the over 50s on this side, amen? Tina's going to head them up. There you go, Tina. So focus. Deuteronomy 8:18. Let's get spiritual. You shall remember. That means don't forget. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Right there is God's promise, amen, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Because you will never pursue what you don't believe you qualify for. You will never pursue it. Now we're on fire. I didn't know whether that was the fire of God or we've got smoke coming behind us. Somebody better tell me when. Is that the time, 11:32? So I'm going to have to stop very soon, amen? Let me just quickly share these last few points. I'll try and be as quick as I can. Number two, don't just get the principles, get the purpose. We had Joseph as a rich young ruler. He had the purposes of God. He had to go through the dealings of God. Let me read it to you. This is in Genesis 40:14. And remember, it says, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show your kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. Who's he got on his mind? And get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen. He's still having a pity party. Away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me in the dungeon. So he's really got himself on his mind. He's in a bad place here, amen? Then it says, yet the chief butler didn't remember him, remember Joseph and forgot him. 2 years later, after the dealings with God, says, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh had a dream. If you go over then, I love this scripture. It says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've dreamed a dream. There's no one who can interpret it. But I've heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. Joseph answered and said to Pharaoh, it is not in me. That's the place that we all have to come to. Amen. It's not in me. this is a God thing. He knew, and he became second in charge of the entire. It says, the rich young ruler in Genesis 41, 39 to 40 says, then Pharaoh said, inasmuch as you have shown all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all the people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. See, if God can trust you, he can put wealth in your hands. If he knows you're not just doing it for yourself. Now, in saying that, what is covenant? What does it mean? God's given us the power to create wealth that we can establish his covenant. Part of his covenant is that you have a home that you can call home, a home that you own, that no one else has got any financial interest. This is me and my big dreams, amen? That you would have a home you can call home, that you would be able to put your children in a school of your choosing, that you would have a job that you love doing under the instruction of the Lord, because it's no good being an accountant if you're meant to be a doctor. No good being a doctor if you're meant to be an accountant. It's no good going on to uni if God's called you to go to Bible college and be a teacher or a pastor, amen? There's training we need to do in the fields that God's calling us to, and we need to find out what that is so that he can use every one of us. You know, we have to go through the dealings of God to be able to clarify the purity of what God is wanting to do through his house, amen? And the second rich young ruler, God just called him a fool. You know, he just said to him, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Why? It tells us in verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself but is not rich toward God. See, part of covenant is looking after yourself and your family and then having enough to give away. That's what the position that God wants to get each one. There is nothing about poverty or debt or lack that gives glory to God. Not one thing about that gives glory to God. We give glory to God when we have the ability to understand we are blessed and that we can be a blessing. Amen. Just quickly, my third point was that you develop a hard-working ethic, because there is not one promise for a lazy person in Scripture. And Proverbs 6:6 talks about going to the ant. You can read that yourself. Proverbs 24 says, one day I passed by the field of a lazy man. I noticed the vineyards of a slacker. I love this version of it, speaking my language. It says, I observed nothing but thorns, weeds, broken down walls. So I considered their lack of wisdom and I pondered the lessons I could learn. Then it says, professional habits prevent poverty from becoming your permanent business partner. Now, nobody wants poverty to be their permanent business partner, amen? And to put off until tomorrow the work you could do today, and tomorrow never seems to come. And I want to encourage you that it says in Proverbs 12, 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. I'll stop there. The fourth point is generosity. And I could preach a message just on generosity, because without carrying a generous heart, says the generous heart, shall be made rich.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.